Right now it is time for us to browse the pages, electronically of course, of Main Street Magazine. Main Street Magazine is available for free pickup throughout the tri-state region in various locations. And you can also see the online edition, which is mainstreetmag.com. We welcome in Thorin Christendotter once again. Thorin, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I can't wait till we can shake these cold mornings, and springtime comes, I guess, on Saturday night. The first full day of spring is Sunday. So.
And then 60 degrees next week.
Hopefully. it was 60 degrees last week, too. That didn't help us at all. The
past, I know, right? After we talked, right? We were talking about, oh, let's talk to you next week in warmer weather. And here we are, and it's freezing again.
All right. Well, let's go to the pages. We're good. We're going to the dogs and animals with this edition of Main Street Magazine. You've got a great story on dogs, canine, real estate, going to the dogs.
Yeah, so this for this month's real estate article, Christine looked at the impact that owning a dog or having a dog next to your property, whether you're buying or selling, and how that can impact, you know, either the sale or the purchase or even insurance. And it was, you know, quite interesting, even though I don't have a dog. But, you know, these are things that I didn't even consider when looking at a property. It's like, oh, wait a second, that can impact it, or how it can impact it, or... So it was kind of interesting to see how to think about things a little differently.
Well, you know, I've had animals my whole life, and having dogs and cats, any animal that you keep in the house, can affect the sale price if you're trying to sell it or try to buy a house. If you're going to try to sell the house, I mean, if you're going to sell the house, what you do is, you know, you make sure all your, if you've got dogs or cats, you make sure all your floors are redone over and everything like that, and there's no cat litter or anything like that. It's an expense. It's like if you're going to trade in your car, you don't trade in your car when it's just caked with mud and dirt. You make it look as good as possible. That's right. What you have to do with your house. And if you're looking for a house and you don't like pets and you're allergic to pet dander, that's one of the first questions you should ask. Have there been pets in this house? It's not that you can't get the house, but you might want to have the house totally cleaned first before you go in there, because there are certain children and adults that are totally allergic to pet dander.
Exactly. For anyone who's in the market and has a dog or is thinking about getting a dog or thinking of selling or buying, you know, it's an interesting read for sure.
Just imagine this, Kristen. I come from a household that at one point had a black Labrador, golden Labrador, a Schnauzer, and 7 French poodles.
Oh my God.
7. And the French poodles were great by themselves. But if you walked into their room and all of them were together, they were like a wild pack. It was unbelievable. And they were miniature poodles. And my father named them all after alcohol, like, you know, scotch, whiskey, rye. Really? I remember it vividly from when I was a kid. But anyways, yeah, it's pretty interesting. If you do have pets and if you're going into a house, it does make a big difference. And even though dogs are very popular right now, you know, everybody loves dogs, Subaru and all the other car dealers, but it's something that you have to consider.
For sure.
All right. Move on to the next story, Rocksteady Farm.
Yeah, John talked to the fine folks over there about how they actually founded the farm, started it, you know, the hows and whys, and then how they've developed over the year and how they're trying to increase food equality while still creating safe spaces for folks. So, you know, and they're located right in Millerton. They offer a CSA as well as, you know, many other opportunities. And so it's a wonderful thing that they do there, and in addition to, you know, making some great food. So.
And you've got a story on a rescue, a different kind of rescue mission. We're lucky around here. We have in Berkshire County, the Berkshire County SPCA. We have, of course, in our own area, several organizations that place pets and honor pets. The Little Guild is one of them in Cornwall. And in Dutchess County, they have the Dutchess County SPCA, which is very active in the county.
It is. And for those folks who don't know, on Fridays we always have what we call Shelter Pet of the Week, and we actually work with all those organizations and a couple more, like the one in Columbia County, and I think there's actually another a fifth one that we work with, where we highlight an animal that is in need of a home. And the Dutchess County SPCA is one of the organizations that shares with us an animal every week. And this piece is a kind of in-depth look at their organization, how it came about, and what they're kind of all about. And obviously with the last year, they talk about the pandemic and how that impacted their organization, how it impacted the animals that they rescue and work with, and then how it has changed. As you said, dogs are very popular now, for a lot of folks who need a companionship or were home and wanted a pet. So they also talk about that and how that's been an impact this year.
All these people with all these organizations simply amaze me. And it goes right down to the town level, the animal control officers. Now, they are with the addition of a tool called Facebook, by the way. There's a few great things that Facebook does, and that is give immediate access for these animal control officers and for individuals to put up pictures in exact locations where animals and pets were lost. And the recovery rate has gone up significantly when you add that into the mix, with also animals being microchipped and everything like that. It's a whole new world but I just marvel because there's so many different sad cases of pets being abandoned, simply dropped off by people, kicked out of cars and left on roads, and these people deal with it on a daily basis. And they get attached to it. It's an emotional job, and we thank them all for the work they do.
For sure. Certainly, it's more than just a job.
Yep. Well, we're going to wrap up this talk on hemp, and that is farming for the future and pleasant, and that is hemp, because hemp is becoming quite a product.
It is, and this one is Hudson Hemp, and obviously in Hudson, New York. Dominique interviewed the three siblings who are behind this company, and discuss with them, their backgrounds and how it is that they came together in Hudson to create this corporation, and how they go about growing hemp and the products that they themselves create. And there's been a surge in hemp, growing and manufacturing here, even in our region, for a while. But I found this personally to be truly fascinating, in how they're looking at things a little differently and creating products in a market space that's there's a need for.
Well, hemp is an amazing product, and it goes everything from rope. It could be a building material. It's eventually a health product. That's years ago, hemp was just as illegal as marijuana, believe it or not. But and they're two different things. Well, these are just some of the stories you'll find every month in the magazine, Main Street Magazine, and on their website, mainstreetmag.com. Thorin, we'll pack it up for now, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Sounds terrific. Stay warm now.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thorin Christendotter from Main Street Magazine, mainstreetmag.com on the web.